This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Our first guest has made a return to Westwood after 18 years up in Corvallis as the head coach of Oregon State. Kirk Walker has come back to where it all began with UCLA softball. He was here for 11 years the first time around and back on the staff. It's got to feel good to be back in blue and gold.
It feels great. It's fantastic to be home.
The softball team just about finishing their regular schedule. You've got a big series up in Corvallis in a week. That's going to be strange going back there, isn't it?
It's definitely going to be a little awkward in the beginning. Obviously, I'm very happy and very content, and they're doing great, and so I'm happy for that. But it will be odd sitting in the other dugout in that stadium.
Kirk, you started as an undergraduate assistant here at UCLA, then became a softball coach on staff. What did it take to get you back here?
Well, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to return home athletically as well as professionally and personally. My family's down here raising my daughter. It was a great opportunity to move back closer to home where my family was. And to be back at UCLA was not a difficult decision. Obviously, I enjoyed my time as a head coach. I enjoyed my time at Oregon State. Was very thankful for that time. But, you know, a chance to be back in blue and gold and be back where my heart really is was not a difficult decision.
The Bruins are currently ranked in the top 20 in the country, and Dave mentioned you guys are going into that last bit of the regular season and then hopefully a long run into the postseason. But what are your thoughts on the season so far?
It's been a great run. It's been very exciting to watch the growth of this team. The athletes are really engaged, they're fully committed, and to see them really grow, it's been fantastic. It's a very young group, so we've seen a lot of mistakes along the way. We've seen a lot of learning along the way, but I think we're in a great place right now. They're fully bought in and believe, and we've got a lot of talent that we can do a lot of damage with, so we're excited about it.
Yeah, the Bruins are ranked 15th right now, but Beth Moens, who has done a lot of softball, said, "I look at UCLA as one of the top eight teams. Good chance for the Bruins to get to Oklahoma City. A little pressure for your squad."
Well, I don't know if it's pressure. I think it's a recognition of how we've been playing, and all we can focus on is how we keep going after it and the process and how we're playing. And I think if we do that, I think we are somebody that could be a very serious threat.
Teams often want to host, but the Bruins haven't been great at home this year. You've been really good on the road. How do you translate that into getting better at Easton?
Well, I don't know that there's any particular reason why. I think we've dropped a few games at home that we probably shouldn't have, but we love playing at home. We love playing in front of our crowd, and the last couple of homestands have been great, and we've definitely felt the love of being here in Westwood.
Having really been here when the program took off years ago under Sue Enquist, you've got to love the changes in the facilities that UCLA plays in.
Absolutely. You know, when I was first here, we were in the same location, but we had none of those facilities. Our clubhouse was a storage bin that I used to clean out after practices, and we had a bench for a dugout, and that was it. So it's fantastic to see what has evolved and still being in a beautiful location up there on campus.
Speaking of evolving, you mentioned that you guys have a really young team, and you've been successful this year, but having so many underclassmen, it's got to make you feel good going into next season and even the season after that you've got some young girls, but they already have some experience.
No doubt. I think the exciting thing is that there's a great belief and a great culture that's really fostering and working, and you're seeing these young athletes really step up and perform. So absolutely, we're focused on right now, and we're focused on what we can do right now. But as a coach, you always step back and say, boy, this learning opportunity, what we get out of this year has been fantastic for the future for those young athletes.
We talked about Beth Moens a moment ago, and that brings up the coverage of the postseason tournament in softball. It's very visible, and it gets great ratings. Mm-hmm. It's got to be nice to see the sport that you love get the publicity.
Absolutely. Like I said, those first years when the only games that were on TV was the championship game, and it was, tape delayed, and played in the middle of the night 2 weeks later. So it's fantastic to see that every game in that postseason is highlighted and coveraged, and it's fantastic.
What is the key for the Bruins going to be as you move forward to try to get to Oklahoma City?
You know, our keys are going to be continue to do what we do and what we do well, and that is this team has very solid pitching, and we've got a staff that's really capable. We don't necessarily have to rely on one pitcher. So that's going to continue to be a strength of ours, is to be able to rely on all three of those pitchers. I think another strength of ours that we need to keep trusting and relying on is our ability to fight and come from behind. The postseason brings a lot of crazy things, and you can never count on it being exactly what you expect it to be. So that's where I feel like we're going to be in an advantage over teams that have maybe had an easy road or not really struggled. I think we're prepared for the struggle.
Coach I is always really adamant about the team having great chemistry, and I know you guys do a lot of team bonding activities, and not only the size of your fight, but having team chemistry has got to play a part in your success, not only in the regular season, but also in the postseason.
Absolutely. I mean, every championship team I've been a part of, I've been fortunate to be a part of, all really had some special chemistry, and it may look different, but there's something underlying there that's always there, and this team has that. This team has that. So I think if we continue to trust in that, play hard, focus on our game, I think the chemistry that we have will take us a long way.
Coach, very interesting week in sports with Jason Collins announcing that he's gay, the first professional NBA player to do that. You did that a couple of years ago. You've been very active in teaching against homophobia. Brittany Griner, Jason Collins, do you look at yourself as a groundbreaker?
I realized after I came out and actually started to be able to speak up more openly that it was making a big effect and it was having a big change. And the emails that I would get, and I still get, and the letters that I get are amazing from generations, you know, gone by and from the young athletes. And so I realized, absolutely, I feel like I'm a groundbreaker. Unfortunately, I'm still the only male Division I coach that's out. And that's sad for me that it hasn't changed. But I think what Jason Collins has done is tremendous. I think, more importantly, the response that we've seen from professional athletes in other sports, baseball, football, hockey, welcoming or saying that they would welcome a gay teammate, coaches and other people, administrators, league officials, all making those statements. That effect is, in my opinion, going to create a landslide that's going to happen fairly soon. But my hat's off to Jason. Obviously, he's a Pac-12 athlete. He's from the Valley where I grew up. So I'm very proud of him and very excited for his future.
Brittany Griner got less publicity. Of course, she's the number one draft choice. She's going to have a team next year. Jason Collins may not have a team getting toward the end of his career. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens as he tries out for a squad next year.
Absolutely. And you know, I hope that his ability and his talent to contribute will be there. And that's what it should be based on. It should be based on the media or his popularity or the excitement around what's going on. But I think, you know, if all things work out and he has that opportunity, it will be extra special for the movement.
Let's talk about what you've done with Ally Week on the campus of UCLA, and tell us what that is.
Yeah, well, you know, coming back here as an athlete or as a student athlete when I was here as an undergrad, you know, it was always a very neutral environment. I didn't ever feel a lot of homophobia. But I think the opportunity when I came back to be able to say, what more can we do? UCLA has always been a leader when it comes to social movement and equality, whether it go back to Rayford Johnson or Jackie Robinson, you know, Arthur Ashe. I think it was an opportunity to say UCLA has the ability to be proactive here and take a lead on something that is absolutely right. And there's been a great support from the administration, and Christina Rivera heading up the committee that kind of got this started was fantastic. And I was very fortunate. I felt like this was the prime opportunity for me. It's why I was here. It's why I'm supposed to be back here, to be able to continue to help UCLA softball be great, UCLA athletics be great, and also to help promote the cause of equality.
Well, we want to congratulate you. I mean, you're a real trendsetter. It's really inspiring. But I just want to talk about, this is your second tenure now at UCLA. You've got to have some great memories, some incredible memories from over the years. Are there a few that stand out to you as you're looking back on your time?
There are so many. you know, I think, but when you look at the championships I was a part of, each one of those had special runs. But it really comes down to the people, to be honest with you. Sharon Backus, Sue Enquist, two of my huge mentors and two of my best friends in the world. And then today, alongside Kelly Inouye and Lisa Fernandez, two of my best friends by far, when they went through their coaching careers or their playing careers while I was coaching. And those are the things that really stand out is the relationships and the people that you really kind of go through this whole journey with, and to watch the growth. But there's been a lot of crazy things, funny things, things that you would share with the public, things you wouldn't share with the public. But, you know, it's about family. And, UCLA softball is absolutely about family, and it's something that I really, truly cherish.
When Kelly Unoue Perez was behind the plate and Lisa Fernandez was pitching, they were a battery. Did you ever think that these are going to be the coaches someday?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. You know, that was one of the things while we were working out, while we were doing those many, many hours at the field and training, we talked about even then at some point we would be coaching together. They all assumed they would be coaching for me and that I would be the head coach at UCLA or I'd be somewhere. We talked about it because we had that type of a relationship in terms of how we worked and how we trained and how we talked about the game. They're two very, very special women, coaches, athletes, that really always from day one had that extra special feature that you just knew they were going to be giving back to the sport.
One of your very good friends when you were here the first time was a young choreographer, Valerie Condos Field, who wasn't a gymnastics coach at the time. How about her rise?
You know, once again, I'm so proud to have watched and have been a part of that journey and seen it. And then from afar for the last 18 years, to really see her just become one of the premier coaches in any sport in the country. And it's exciting. And I think, you know, when you see someone who she was, which was so passionate about giving back to the athletes and so passionate about the aesthetic of the sport and so passionate about just putting out a tremendous product, to then really creating a dynasty that is about excellence and a dynasty that's about more than just the performance. It's about the people. And I'm something that I'm very, very excited for and have really, truly enjoyed watching.
UCLA is lucky to have you back. Welcome back to Westwood.
Thank you very much.
And we will be right back with our next guest after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Rachel Fatal as our Student Athlete of the Week. In the UCLA women's water polo win over Cal, Rachel scored 3 goals, helping the Bruins rally from an early 3-0 deficit. She also scored twice against Arizona State, leading the Bruins to a third-place finish at the MPSF Championship Tournament. Congratulations, Rachel, and good luck with the rest of the season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
And we sure hope you've been following track and field on the website because they just had a huge dual meet win over USC, the men and the women triumphant. And the associate head coach, Jack Hoyt, has got to be happy about that.
Oh, I'm definitely happy. That was my first one, so it was an exciting experience to be on their turf and take home 2 victories.
Tell us the feeling of seeing the men and women do that victory lap.
It was great. It was just to see the whole team together as a unified program and take a victory lap together. You know, the first year that we were all one program was great. And you could see the enthusiasm. They actually ran too fast for me to keep up. But yeah, it was a great opportunity to witness the biggest meet of the year.
You've come here from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where you had a terrific career, and now you're working with Mike Maynard and Jeanette Bolden, working with both the men and the women. See, let's talk about the unified approach.
Oh, it's great. I looked at UCLA over the last 7-8 years and always thought that'd be a great place to work and felt so it was missing that unified approach. And when Coach Maynard called me and talked about, yeah, we're unified, I'm the director, want you on board, I thought, oh, that's incredible because that's the best opportunity ever. And I think it's going great. I think Jeanette's doing an amazing job with the men athletes and they're lucky to have her and all of her experience to direct. And I'm just having a great time.
You get to work with the men and the women coaching jumps and also the women's heptathlon. When you think of women's heptathlon, the name that jumps out is Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
Yeah.
How much does her legacy impact the athletes who come to UCLA?
I hope a lot. I certainly use it when I'm recruiting. And, you know, she was also a dual sport person. So we've got some recruits out there who are dual sport. And I tell them, oh, you can do it here. You can do both. Look at what Jackie Joyner Kersee did. So it's a big thing. And obviously they look at the records, and it's amazing to see her name over so many of our top 10 lists. And that's my goal, to get someone eventually to break her record.
Dave mentioned that you are in charge of jumps and heptathlon. What do you think that you bring to the table for those two events? What do you try to preach to your athletes as you're out there on the track with them?
Well, a lot of times at practice, I try to get them to be competitive, and I'll set up little competitions within the practice itself. And it may be even that I say, you have one less 200-meter sprint if you make this bar. I just want to put pressure on the table. They need to learn to compete with pressure. And that's what I was really happy at USC. I knew they were ready to go, and when the jump squad did really well, they swept the high jump, swept the pole vault, first and third in the long jump for the women, I was thrilled because I knew they were ready to do that, and I wasn't sure if they had that competitive edge. And they've showed all season long, including at indoor nationals, that they're ready to compete. So I think it's working.
We talked about your years at Cal Poly, a very good program, but stepping up to UCLA is a step up in national prominence. How did you find out there was an open? It was just a cold call from Coach Maynard?
Very cold call, yeah. I was on my way back from the Olympic trials, driving actually down through about Reading, and I didn't even notice my phone rang, and he'd left a message. He wanted to talk to me about an opportunity, and I thought about it for about a couple hours of the drive before I called him back, because I sort of wanted to have my thoughts in order of what this was going to be like to have this conversation. So yeah, UCLA is an amazing place to be. It's just athletically, I don't know how to put it exactly, but really exciting. And Cal Poly was a great place to be, but UCLA athletics is definitely right at the top of the country. So it's been an adventure for me, and every day I come to work happy. So
one of your prime students was Sharon Day, who competed in the Olympics twice. That's got to be an amazing experience for a coach.
Yeah, I got to go to Beijing with her. That was her senior year at Cal Poly. She high-jumped in the Olympics, and that was quite an adventure. And then she kept going and was at the World Championships in Berlin the next year. I got to go to that. And then in Daegu, Korea, 2 years ago, and then again back to an Olympic game. So she's had a great run since she graduated. And now to have her part of this program has been exciting. And I think the athletes are learning a lot from her. And so this summer, hopefully she takes me to Moscow, Russia for the World Championships.
Well, we're talking about Sharon and how much of an incredible career she has had. But what do you think is the integral part of coaching that takes those athletes to the next level? You talked about putting pressure on them in practice, but what's going to take them up to that next level?
And that's really where Sharon stands out, because every time I've given her that opportunity, okay, if you jump this bar at practice, you'll have one less run, or you make me run, she always makes it. So it's being clutch in the right moment. And I think she's the type that is, she's got the athleticism, certainly, but to make all those world championship teams and Olympic teams, you have to be clutch. So when it's that crunch time, you have to step up. And I think that's the most important thing. Secondly is health. If you don't bring health, you can't do anything. So you need to be competitive, you need to be clutch, and then you have to be healthy. Along the way, you have to get them really, really fit. And that's where sometimes you get them injured. So I have to ride a very fine line with knowing how everybody's feeling and then keep pushing. And then you need athletic talent. So we've got to recruit the best people.
Pac-12s are coming up, and then the NCAA's up in Eugene, Oregon. How important was it to go through the experience of getting ready for a dual meet against SC? The dual meet has not been a concept it's coming back, but the dual meet against SC is as big as it gets on the regular season level. How much mentally did that help in getting the teams ready for the postseason?
That's huge. Coach Maynard had talked to me about his philosophy being like a lot of dual meets, because we just go in there and compete. And to compete at nationals or Pac-12s, you have to be ready to compete. And in track and field, a lot of times we just go for performances and you try to hit a big mark so you can make it to the big meets. But really, it's better to just get yourself athletically ready and then go beat everybody you're going against, and you'll make it as far as you need to go. So I felt USC was huge. We stepped up, and now we'll go to Pac-12s, the same facility, and I think it'll be easy to step up again.
As we're talking about preparing for the postseason, and you mentioned earlier the unifiedness of the team this year and how much it's really helped, how are the athletes taking to that? I mean, how do you go out and support each other at a track meet when everyone's concerned about their own events?
I think, you know, when they train together, they get to know each other. I think they have social things together after practice, and on the weekends, and I think that's all important. I think there's still some separateness involved with both teams. I think it was great when they could get together and run the victory lap as one team, but we'll still have meetings with just the women's team and the men's team, and that's good too, because there's certain things on a men's team that's a little different from a women's team, and perspectives that are a bit different. But by and large, if I'm coaching Dylan and Faith and the triple jump, they're supporting each other at practice, watching each other's run-throughs, helping each other with the step. And it's a big plus to have them excited about each other's event.
As we look forward to the NCAAs, what is it going to take for these Bruin teams to win national championships?
Well, I think we're on the right track. We certainly have a lot of athletes that are ranked pretty high in the country, maybe the top 20 or 10, or even with Julian, the top person in the country. And then you bring them there and they compete. So we'll see. I think the men's team is poised pretty well this year and next year to make top five run. And the women are getting better. They're young with Brea Buchanan's hurdle time, with Kylie Price's speed and jumping ability, and a lot of these other people. Tatum Souza's stepping up right now on the heptathlon. I think the foundation's set. I think Turquoise Thompson can lead us as a women's team at nationals. She's had the experience and needs to just take the team the rest of the way, and then Ida Storm in the hammer throw. So there's a lot of names I can throw out there who are going to be right at the top three or four in the country. And then you start adding up the points, and we were surprised indoors with the women how well they did team score-wise, because they all stepped up. So if people do that at nationals, we could look at the women's team being top eight team and maybe higher.
Somebody who competes in the jumps and the sprints, Kylie Price is an example, comes to mind. She's a great 200-meter sprinter, and she also competes in the long jump. Different training techniques. How do you balance the training needed for the explosion in the sprints and the training needed for the elevation in the jumps?
Yeah, I think the hardest part is just making sure they're not being trained too intensely every single day. Because when I have Kylie at long jump practice, I have to know what she did the day before with Coach Bolden's sprint practice. And I need to know what she's doing that day if she finishes up with me. Generally, I have her once or twice a week for long jump work. And I like her on a Thursday after she's had a Wednesday recovery day. And Coach Bolden usually has workouts Monday and Tuesday that set up her week just right for me to use her on Thursday. In the fall, we did more grass conditioning with rhythm takeoffs. So there's a fine line, because really the biggest fear is that you're going to hurt them, because long jump and sprints, it's all the same thing. You're sprinting as fast as you can and jumping. So the training you do is pretty similar. It's just you don't want to do too much of it.
Well, luckily you've had quite a bit of experience in coaching young athletes, both at Cal San Luis Obispo and Seattle Pacific, which is your alma mater. How do you think that your experiences at those past universities have helped you kind of thrive here at UCLA?
I think it's been a lot of help. You always use your experience in the past. I've been coaching quite a bit since 1994, and there's things I did wrong in the past that I've learned from, hopefully. And there's things that I did right that I've saw that can work, and how to involve myself as a coach in the athlete's life that can be really beneficial as well. I've been a real relational coach, and I think that's been important. To know my athletes and to know when to push and when to step back and when to hold them back. And those are all things you learn over time that I think a young coach, you don't always know those things, but with experience, it really helps.
UCLA's track history, as we've discussed, goes way back. What have your impressions been of living and working in Westwood?
Well, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. I love going through the Hall of Fame and seeing all the Olympic athletes. That's kind of always my goal, is to take an athlete to the Olympics. So I know Kylie Price has that on her radar for 2016, and I've seen some of the other athletes as potential athletes at the Games. So certainly I love the Hall of Fame shows that, I think we're number five country or something as just UCLA for gold medal count. And I want to help add to that count. That's my goal. So I think I'm here to be part of the biggest athletic program in the country.
And a very visible guy on campus is one of the greatest names in the history of track, Rafer Johnson. It's got to be wonderful to interact with a legend like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was a decathlete too. So I've always admired him. And he's still an imposing figure, as large and powerful as he is. You just know, I would have loved to have seen him in his prime.
Looking forward to the national championships and Pac-12s, what does this team need to do in training and both at the competition to kind of take them up to that next level and really make them competitive with those top programs?
I think at this point, the base training's finished. So we're not trying to get them any stronger in the weight room or any stronger on the track. What we have to do now is make sure they're competing well, which we're doing pretty well, with the USC Duel being an example. And hopefully at Pac-12s, they're going to compete again really well. And then you have to keep them healthy and sharp. So if some of the people that we really feel will be at Nationals are, you know, Mike Whoopsie in the pole vault or Kylie Price in the long jump in my groups, where we right now have to have a lot of, and same with Tatum Souza in the heptathlon, she's pretty much already qualified for the national meet. So that's not until early June. So we have over a month to keep those people fresh, don't let them get out of shape, and really at this point you're getting them better by getting them sharper.
Coach, as a decathlete, obviously you had to be good in all kinds of disciplines. When you were doing it as an athlete, did you ever think, hey, this is a perfect career path for coaching?
No, I didn't. Not during when I was training, but Coach Maynard coached me for 2 years, and his style of coaching I loved, and I always emulated it as I started coaching. He's a very vocal, relational person, and taught me so much that I was inspired by that to go into coaching.
Coach, congratulations. Welcome to Westwood. And
thank you.
Best of luck as the Bruins head down the stretch.
All right. We're having a good time.
And we hope you'll follow their exploits on the website. That's going to do it. This half hour has just flown by. We've really enjoyed it. Hope you have, too. For Allison Taylor, I'm Dave Marcus, saying so long from Westwood. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.